I get a devotional, a daily devotional then, from a man who's going to be with the Lord. His name is Adrian Rogers. So let me read to you just quickly what today's devotional said, coming from Mr. Rogers. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:2. And then the devotional thought is, how do you have faith? You look to Jesus, and faith is produced in your heart. You don't have to work up faith. Suppose I needed to cross the Mississippi River and I wasn't sure whether the bridge could hold me up or not. I could do one of two things. I could stand on the banks of the Mississippi and try to work up enough courage to make myself believe in that bridge, then timorously walk over that bridge. Or I could look at the semi-trucks traveling across the mighty steel and concrete of that bridge, believe, and boldly walk across in faith. In this case, faith is the byproduct of seeing the strength of the bridge itself. In the same way, it's not great faith in God that we need, it's faith in a great God. And that's what we need. We need to remember. We don't need faith in faith. Our faith should be in God. He's the great power. It's nothing really. It's not magical. It's factual. It's just a plain fact. I'm going to talk this morning about our position in Christ. At around 6:23 a.m. Wednesday morning of this week, I laid down after waking up briefly, and then I laid back down just to kind of take an additional snooze. But shortly after I laid down and closed my eyes, the Holy Spirit showed me something. I looked down at the inside of my thigh, I think it was my left thigh, and I saw two scriptures. I saw Romans 6:4 written on the inside of my thigh, and I saw 8:14. Well, I quickly sat straight up, right? And forget about the snooze. Matter of fact, I don't think I got any snooze that day. I got straight up and grabbed for my Bible and looked like it was kind of running from me. I couldn't kind of get my hands on it. It kept falling, and I was trying to, didn't want to forget, and finally got it open, and I looked and I read it. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I think that's a pretty substantial message to be given when you're trying to catch a snooze. Must be important for the Lord to interrupt my snooze. Because snoozes are important. Well, let's go ahead and pray and get into this message today. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for our lives. Thank you, Lord, for a reasonable portion of health and strength that you've given us, that we can still be about our business, and particularly about your business. There's no business but your business, Lord. Help us to realize that, and help us to remember to be about your business. So touch us today that we might hear the message that you have sent. And help us, Lord, again, to not get in your way, because we don't need to hear from another man or woman, Lord. We need to hear from you. So speak to our hearts as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. In these two scriptures, I see information about our place in God, in Christ, about our place in God, in Christ, buried with him by baptism. That means buried with him. And the implications that we are raised up with him from the dead in Christ. This should prompt us, that scripture says there, that we should walk in a new area of life. We should walk differently. Our lives should be affected by what He has done in us. We should walk in newness of life. The second scripture, it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are known as the sons of God. Now, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're known. Now, I know that the angelic world knows. I know that God's angels know. Of course, God knows. You should know. But do you know what? When people see you on the street, they're not sure what they're looking at. But they know that there's something different than what they normally see. And you may have to explain to them, I'm a child of the King. I'm known of God. There's a difference there. They that are led by the Spirit. We are buried here. Romans 6:4, it speaks of our position in Christ. It tells us that we are buried with Jesus in baptism unto death, just as He was baptized. Now, this is not just some imaginary story. This is fact. We are factually buried with Jesus in baptism. Just as He was buried, we are buried. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't see how that could be. That's okay. It is anyway. Amen. It is anyway. Jesus said to James and John, the two brothers that came to Him and said, Master, we would have something of thee. And what is it that you have? Oh, that you would allow me and my brother, one to sit on your right side and one to sit on your left side in your kingdom. And Jesus asked, He said to them, He said, you know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Sometimes you don't know what you're asking when you ask. I stop asking so much. Because sometimes I get what I ask. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Oh, if I had known beforehand that this is what I was asking for, I would have thought. So I'm very careful anymore what I ask for. I just, like Paul say, I learned in all things how to abound and how to abase. And whatever God places in my life, I just ask for strength to just handle and deal with it gracefully and be thankful for where I am in Him. Colossians 2, and I'm going to read Colossians 2, 9 through 12. It says, for in Him, that is in Jesus, dwells or lives all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in Jesus, everything that God is in Him. Everything that's in the kingdom of God is in Him. Everything that represents heaven is in Him. Everything that is God is in Him. And verse 10 says, and ye are, you, ye means y'all, in North Florida and South Georgia language. Ye means y'all, so if I could say y'all, are complete in Him. You're complete. You are complete in Him. Amen. You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom, that's talking about Jesus when it says in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. I got stuck last night meditating on verse 11 there in Colossians. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. Now, circumcision is not a pretty picture. As a matter of fact, circumcision is a very bloody picture. Very bloody picture. And you mean it, mister, if you subject yourself to circumcision. Ain't no question about it. Yeah, he's serious. It is not a very pretty picture. And then those that belong to God, starting with Abraham coming on down, that was one of the rites that they had to go through. You mean I got to do what with what and when? And yeah, that's the requirement. And so when we talk about that and says that we were circumcised, but this is a circumcision that was not made with hands. This one is made with the word of God. It's made with him. And the word of God, again, is quick and powerful, and is sharper than any two-edged sword, that it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the very thoughts and intents of your heart. Circumcised with a circumcision that's not made with hands. In putting off, and this is it, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And so what he's done is that he has freed you from the power of sins that are so familiar to us in our regular bodies. He has cut those things away from us. They have fallen away from us. If you do it, it's because you want to. But before Christ, you did it because you had to. Go ahead, I want to hear something. You're not in bondage anymore to sin. You're just doing it because you want to. Now, well, listen, I'm not being judgmental. We all walking in the same on the same earth here. We all got the same sets of circumstances that we deal with. They just got different faces on them. Amen. They just got different faces on them. But we're all dealing with this same issue because, listen, your old man ain't dead. He's a mean old rascal. He's nasty. He wants his place back, and he's not going to get it back fairly. He's going to trick you. He's going to lie. He's going to cheat. He's going to steal. It don't matter because that's how he is. And y'all remember how that was, right? Y'all remember the lying and the cheating? And I only got one person saying yes. Oh, actually, we're trying not to go back there. But that's where we were. We was that. And so it's more by choice now than anything. But it's not because we have to. We've been made free from the power of sin. Hallelujah. And the Bible says we are buried with him in baptism. We have been buried with Jesus. When he was buried, we were buried. Wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. And so that means to believe God and have raised him from the dead. This is where faith in God comes in. The scripture tells us in Colossians 2:10 that we are complete in him. We are complete in him. But I tell you what, your experiences tell you differently. Your feelings protest this truth many times. Your family members make you feel like you're inadequate and underdeveloped, some of you. Your boss and your peers at work continually point out your faults and your ignorance. But God, by his word, tells you that you are complete in Jesus Christ. The question is, which do you believe? And you must, at this point, be very honest with your answer. Because when you're honest and saying, well, I tell you what, my boss, how many have had bosses just come down on your head, look like they just won't back off? They're just always, you don't do anything right. And you could leave there depressed and feeling like you're no good and you're nothing. But you are complete in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. So we need to honestly do this. And why is it so important to be honest with our answer? Because that's a very good starting point. If you don't think it, if it's not there, if your heart is not convinced of it, be honest and say, you know, Lord, I like this. But right now, I am not embracing it. And start from there. And then be honest with you and be honest with him. And that's what you can grow from the soil of truth. From the soil of truth. Listen, I'm telling you this morning, whether you believe it or not, that you are complete in Jesus. There's nothing lacking in him. All you can do is just grow to maturity now because you have been made complete in Jesus. You're complete, brother. You're complete. You're complete. Hallelujah. We are complete in him. And then this same Romans 6:4 states that Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father. Romans 8:11 tells us this. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells or lives in you. In other words, just as sure as the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead resides in us, we have the promise of a resurrected body through the life given by His Spirit that resides in us now. That's a promise. Promises are made to be kept. Some say they're made to be broken. But in God, there are no broken promises. This is a promise that He gives us, that we are going to be raised with resurrected bodies. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead, does the Spirit dwell in you or not? That's some questioning I'm asking you now. Does the Spirit live in you or not? The Spirit lives in you. Again, you say, well, I sure don't feel. See, the good thing is that it's sure not based on your feelings. Because some mornings I wake up based on feelings and I'd be full of the Holy Ghost. I could just run through the house and go outside and run. And then some mornings I wake up and I say, He dreamed out last night. If I go by feelings, you can't. Those things change. They change. They're just. Feelings are reactions. They're reactors. They're not determiners. You got to understand that. I've been hitting this for weeks. You cannot trust your feelings. Now, they're there for a reason. But when it comes to this right here, you got to stand and see what the Word of God says and simply believe God's Word. Fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes I wake up and I'm feeling depressed and down. Well, what? Nothing happened. I went to sleep and I woke up. I went to sleep in one mood and I woke up in a different mood. What happened? My wife didn't come out and hit me in the head with a frying pan when I was asleep. You know? No, I didn't wake up to that. I just slept all night and I woke up. And all of a sudden, I'm just, wow, man, wow, life is hard. Why? What happened? Where's that coming from, old man? The emotions, he's latching on to it, trying to get his place back, wants you to not believe God. Well, if he could get you to not believe God, well, he said, maybe I can get a little foothold in. Things are drying up around here. Romans 6:4 says that Jesus was raised by, look at this, Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father. Now, John's 2:11 gives us a glimpse at how glory is defined in Scripture. Glory is important. John 2:11 says this. This the beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested His glory, and His disciples believed on Him. His glory was made seen, and it brought about a belief in Jesus Christ. He showed forth His glory, and His disciples saw His glory, and they believed on Him. The glory of God in this instance was seen when water was turned into wine. That means the disciples had an inside track. They realized that there was no more wine for the festivities. They realized what His mother said, came to Him and said, they have no more wine. And they realized that He told the men to bring several firkins of water and set them here and fill them up to the brim and then take them to the governor of the feast. They knew this. The disciples knew this, what was going on, that they brought water to Him. He says, now draw out. And when He drew out, He said, man, this wine, this is, most people serve the best first and then serve the junk last. That's what He said. When men have well drunk, then He serve them that rot gut, bad wine. And so when they saw this, when they realized that this was the best wine that had been served, they saw His glory and they believed on Him. In other words, they saw what was manifest that came out of his life, they believed on him. It was turned into wine. They saw Jesus. It was when he went public with his first miracle and he showed the supremacy of God over nature. That was his first manifestation. But that manifestation showed his glory. That's glory. See, what comes out of your life shows the glory of God. See, folks watch and see you. And when they see what comes out your life and what you perform and the faith you walk in, they are witnessing the glory of God in your life. You know what it makes them do? They wonder about you. They do. What is it about her? He's kind of odd. What happened to Bill? It's the glory. They're seeing the glory of God. That's the glory of God. In John 11:40, Jesus at the tomb of his very good friend Lazarus, who had died, by the way, said to Martha, his sister, and he said this. And she came crying and saying, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Of course, she was sad because they'd already buried him. They wrapped him up as they did in that time, and they buried him and pulled a stone in front of his tomb. Jesus said something to them, which was peculiar to me when I first read it. Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? I told you, just believe, and you'll see the glory of God. In other words, he said, didn't I tell you already? I told you this before. Didn't I tell you already that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so look, what Martha saw shortly after this was Lazarus raised from the dead. The glory of God in this instance overcame death and the grave. They saw the glory of God. It's not too terribly mysterious. It shows up in the lives of those who believe. The turning of water into wine and the raising of Lazarus from the dead showed a glory of God through the works performed by Jesus. The Bible says Jesus was raised up by the glory of God. And so him being raised showed also the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:4 again, it says that we also, that because of this glory, that we should walk or live in newness of life. And you say, well, what's the big deal about newness of life? You start walking in newness of life and you see what the big deal is. There'll be a whole bunch of folks and places and things you won't walk in anymore. A whole bunch of things you won't do anymore in the newness of life. You say, well, what's so odd about that? Don't worry, it is. You will be, because you won't be like everything else around you. Walking in newness of life. It's a life completely foreign to the old life. And it says it's because of the glory. You believed, and it's because of that belief and the glory, and it's because the power was released in your life to do this, to walk in newness of life. Ephesians 4:20-25 tells us about walking in newness of life. It says this, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or the former ways or the former deeds of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So lust and desires and drives are deceitful. They are deceitful. Just know that. And it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on. I told you to put off something. Now put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Or he's created in the holiness of truth. Wherefore, putting away lying speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. This mind that the Bible says, you don't have to lie to me, and I don't have to lie to you. Because we are a whole new and different creation. Romans 12:1 with this goes on and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is reasonable. God tells you it's reasonable that you present your bodies to him as a living sacrifice. So God is asking you for your body. That's what he's doing. He's asking you for your body. Guess what? Everybody else is asking you for your body too. But God is asking you for your body. He says, present your bodies to me. So your bodies are important. Don't tell me that it's not important what I do and how I live. God knows my heart. God knows your heart. God understands. God understands, but that still doesn't make it right. What is it that he does not understand? What is it that he does not know? See, that's a cop-out. In other words, what you're saying is, I will do what I want to do. Don't fence me in. Back off. Leave me alone. God knows my heart. Okay, I understand. You want me to leave you alone. That's what you're telling me. What you're saying is get out of your business. That's what you're telling me. Don't get in my business. Because God knows all things. What does God not? He's omniscient. So what you're not telling me something that's earth shattering. I know he knows your heart. He knows everything. So you ain't done nothing. But God is saying, I want your bodies. I want you to sanctify your body before me. I want it to be a living sacrifice. I want it to be holy and acceptable to me. God is saying, look, this is a reasonable request. This is a reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now he's talking about your mind. Renew your mind. Give me your body. Renew your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You've got your measure, I've got mine. But be sober. Don't look at somebody and say, wow, I wish I had that kind of faith. No, you don't. You don't know what you're talking about. Like Jesus said, you know not what ye ask. If you knew whatever this person went through, if it is a real faith and a powerful faith, listen, that was not an easy walk to get to where he was. Bible says, just be sober about this thing. Be glad for where you are, who you are, and what you have, and thank God for it, and you go. If you're moving in the amount of faith that God has given you, guess what? It's a powerful faith because it's moving in your life. Don't be looking around wondering about somebody else, and don't do that. And don't let anyone do that to you because they're going to take you out of where God has placed you in your mind. The Bible says, be sober. Think sober. Listen, if one brother goes out and travels through the state of Florida and preaches in prisons all through the state of Florida and touch many, many lives, God bless him for it. Thank God has given him faith and the ability to do it. But if you pour up soup in a soup kitchen, God bless you for it. Because God has given you the ability to do it. The Bible says, think soberly. Don't think that because all I do is pour up soup, you're doing it in the name of Jesus? Yes, I am. Well, what do you mean all you do is pour up soup? Pour up soup in the name of Jesus. I bless this in Jesus and do it. You never know. Nobody can reach the folks that are going to come across your path like you can. And the folks that come across your path will probably not come across my path. So pour up soup in Jesus' name. And go to the prisons in Jesus' name. Do what he's told you to do and do it soberly. And don't try to jump out of where he has you. And be content there. And thank God for whatever it is that he has you doing. and continue to do it and be faithful and think soberly about it, you're right where you need to be in Him. You know why? Because you are complete in Him. You're complete. You're complete, my friend. You are complete. Some folks say you're not, but you cannot listen to them now. You are complete. You are complete. Now, that other scripture, the second scripture, which I seem to have spent most time on the first one, but the second one was Romans 8:14, and it says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." To be led by the Spirit of God is to be brought along by the Spirit. It's to be driven by the Spirit. It's to be induced by the Spirit or carried away by the Spirit as one is submitted to His control. To be led by the Spirit of God is to be pushed by the Spirit. Paul said, "I wanted to go to a certain place, but the Spirit forbade me to go." And then in one place he says that we were led to go in this direction and we were moved along by the Spirit to do it. You say, "Well, how in the world do I know when it's the Spirit?" The Bible says you know all things. See, you know all things. You're going to know. Don't worry about it. Don't think that you're going to just go to the Bible and say, "Okay, it's this." I mean, the Bible will not disagree with what God is telling you to do. But listen, we have the mind of Christ. See, it's a full circle here, what the scripture tells us. We have the mind of Christ. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so if you're walking in the Spirit and you're subjecting yourself to God and His Word and you ask Him for something and you get something back, you don't need to say, "God, is that you?" You thank Him. "Is that you, Lord?" Now, why would you ask me for $5? I push $5 in your face and you say, "Are you sure?" "Brother, give me them $5. You know, it's like, "Oh, no. Oh, you don't need $5. Yeah. What are we talking about then? What are we talking about? So should I, oh, no, put it back." Well, stop playing these games. If you're walking in the Spirit and close with God, you're praying and you're reading His Word and you're subjecting yourself to Him, you ask Him, and what He gives you, you say, "Thank you for it." And you say, "Well, wait a minute. What if I did not hear it right?" Well, that's okay. You know why? Because all things work together for good for those that love Him who are called according to His purpose. Listen, you are complete in Him. Even your errors are complete. Even your mistakes are covered in Him. Come on, give the Lord a hand or something. You're complete in Him. You're complete in Him. He's got this thing covered. Now, yeah, we should walk upright before Him, and we should strive to walk by faith and not by sight. But y'all, I just told y'all that I wake up sometimes depressed. Sometimes I wake up mad, flat mad. Walk through the house with my mouth stuck out for no reason at all. I got to go disappear somewhere and get my attitude right, because I'm going to mess up if I come out, you know, with the wrong attitude for no reason at all. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:14-17 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Now, I want to say about this being led by the Spirit of God, we always speak to it in the vernacular of your being led on a regular basis by God. And this is true. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God to Christ Jesus, that's when you get saved. The Bible says in John 1:12, that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And so we become sons of God when we believe on His name. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if you believe on his name, you are a son of God. I was told so many different ways and directions when I first started in this thing. You got to really give up everything. You got to stop sinning. You got to just clean up your life and everything. And then God will give you the Holy Ghost. I never did get there. I never did clean it all up. I never did stop with the sinning thing. I never did complete all of that to get this Holy Ghost. But what I did get was a time and a point of surrender to him where I said, Lord, if you don't do this, it's not going to get done. I can't do it. I can't live that. I can't do it. No one can. And so it's a matter simply of believing. Listen, if you believe Jesus, there is something different about you. And there are some men that will not believe Jesus. They're the men of Belial. They're the beastly level. They will not believe Jesus no matter what they hear. But if you believe Jesus, you're special already. Because you've got a heart and you've got a mind that's sensitive and tender towards the things and the information of God. My wife told me, I feel like I've been saved all my life. Well, no one's been saved all their lives. You're not born saved. You're born into sin. But this woman lived a certain kind of a way that was so different from everyone around her that she was ready to receive Jesus. Once she heard it, she said, okay, I'll do it. And she came. See, but she had a heart already for Jesus. This wasn't something I had to pump and preach and corner or anything like that. She called me and engaged me. And from that point, the next time we had our meeting, she got up and she said yes. And it was a true salvation too, with tears and crying. And it's one of the most beautiful salvations that you'll ever see. Then it got crazy after that because she went to take some people home. And I waited till they got in the car and drove off, and I took off running in the house. I ran and praised God and ran and praised God. No one saw that but me and my younger daughter. And I praised God and jumped up and waved my hand. And my little daughter, which was about 4 or 5, says, what you doing, Daddy? Exercising? No, I ain't exercising, baby. I'm just praising God. God has given me my wife right here. And so there's a certain tenderness that's in the hearts of people that hear the word and submit to it. And there's a hardness in the hearts of others that will hear it and will reject it, that will not receive it. For as many as are led by the Spirit, and we still need to be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received, the Bible says, the spirit of bondage there in Romans 8:14. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Well, we cry, Papa. We cry, Daddy. It's a term of endearment when we talk to our Father. It doesn't have to be a very formal kind of approach. That's not that. That's not required. We just talk to him as Daddy, just as Papa. Daddy and dear, that's the kind of spirit that we have. Oh, Father, oh, Lord, oh, help. We talk to him. The Bible says the Spirit himself or the Spirit itself or himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In other words, you know that you belong to God. And the Spirit of God in you bears witness to it. And I can tell you what. If you don't belong to him, there's turmoil that's going to be happening on the inside. And you can't claim something that you don't have. There's still going to be a big question somewhere in there. Yes, he bears witness. And if we are children, then we are heirs of God. Then that means we are joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, and we do, that we may also be glorified together with him.
And yeah, we do suffer with him on many different levels. We do. But listen, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So listen, this life seems long, but it's not really that long. 60, 70 years, 75 years is not a long time compared to the backdrop of eternity. It's just, it's not even a period in one of God's sentences. And so the time that we belong to him, let's let him have his way for this very, very brief punctuation mark on his timetable. And just take whatever he has given us and thank him for it and continue to trust him. And again, some things we don't have because we don't need them. You want them, but you don't need them. One thing I want to say, God is not going to give you anything that's going to cause you to turn away from him. And you and I both know that there are some things that will cause us to turn away from God, to the world. There are some things that will cause me to turn to the world. I'll still come and preach to you, but part of me will be headed off to the world. So there's some things he just don't give me. And I ain't pushing for him either. Just, Lord, help me to be thankful for where I am in you and help me to learn how to embrace it. Amen. Father, we're so glad for this vision that you gave me and for the message that has come out of this. And we look so forward, Lord, to walking in these truths. Help us by your Spirit to embrace them, to comprehend them, and to walk in them. May we forever see your glory as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen.